This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What?
Wake up!
Thank you.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Ding, 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 ding.
Alice at 97.3.
It is now time for Bob's Movie Club.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for Bob's Movie Club.
Oh. Let the fireworks begin.
Unfortunately, this week, the movie doesn't quite live up to that amazing intro that Maddie has made for us.
Yeah. Well, but they won't all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of the movie club, you know, the highs and the lows. So thanks for coming along with us. This week's movie was Pacific Heights. Directed by John Schlesinger, originally released September 28th, 1990. What did we think of this movie? What did we like about it?
What? Oh, that's a good question. I liked that it was about these two people who were redoing a house together in San Francisco. They made it into they took an old beat up Victorian and made it really pretty.
My favorite part might be when they said, "This home is $700,000," and
yeah.
I went,
yeah.
I know.
In what world?
Yeah. So
is a corner house that, of that size with
in
two
San
rental
Francisco,
units
it, right.
inside,
supposedly in Pacific Heights?
I know. Oh my God, it's so good.
What a good one! That was the
so
funniest
funny.
Joke of the whole show.
So if you didn't watch the movie, or quick summary for you, this young couple in San Francisco buys this beat up Victorian home, and they can barely afford it
barely.
On their salaries. Yeah. I think. He works in, like, he's a seamstress.
Yeah, he's a seamstress who makes kites. And she's an equestrian with a bum knee.
Right. So she looks like
they're rolling in it.
She teaches horseback riding lessons. So they're barely going to make the rent by having these two units in the apartment.
But they also have to fix it all up. So there's an investment there, too. You know, they're out
Which
on a limb here.
Which they are experts at with their seamstress and equestrian background. They do an excellent job.
No, she's hardcore with the nail gun and everything. Oh, not again.
Yeah.
Can't get it to fire.
And then they end up having a tenant from the Down Under, played by Michael Keaton, who moves in, never pays his rent.
Do you mean from hell?
Yeah, but I don't want no trouble.
You can say hell. Okay. It's fine.
I love her.
Yeah, I know.
She's already got it. She's already
adorable.
Got the theme of the show.
No
we don't want no trouble.
So I would like to ask Vinny a question.
Yes.
Having had a tenant from hell, what are your thoughts on...
Well, first of all, someone, when you picked the movie, and I did not see this movie in real time. So
you'd never seen it before.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I did not see it when it came out. I watched it last Friday night. First time, only time. So someone wrote in and said, this is going to trigger you. And I didn't know what they meant, but it absolutely bothers me. The idea that someone, look, I get we all fall on hard times, whatever. I understand that. But that scumbagging someone where you can't get rid of me and I know the laws are on my side. Double middle fingers to you. My door's locked. Don't come knocking. I'm the tenant from...
Down double under. Hockey sticks.
Like that, that's that anxiety feeling that I get. So it bothered
anxiety.
Me from that standpoint. But in general, I didn't hate the movie as much as you did. I thought, first of all, I'm a Michael Keaton fan.
I like Michael Keaton.
And I thought he did, I absolutely felt it. Some of that frustration the family felt. Is that Modine?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, the guy is from... Stranger Things,
yes.
isn't he?
He plays Papa.
So I've never seen him in anything when he was young. So
you never saw Vision Quest?
No.
The wrestling movie? Oh, okay.
Nope.
I don't think I ever
didn't
saw
even
it
recognize him until I was looking up the movie afterwards.
Oh, really?
One of my fun facts, yeah.
So for that reason alone, I was like, well, there's the guy. He's been around a while. He didn't just turn up with white hair.
Yeah.
He's
been
cute acting
in it too. I was like, he's pretty cute.
Yeah, he did okay. Yeah.
I didn't think of him as being a cute. Oh, you like him tall, huh? How tall is Susan?
5'10".
That's not that tall.
That's okay. He's the love of my life.
Oh, all right.
She just likes him tall. Sorry about it, Susan. Anyway, back to you. Go on. Well, since we're all being mean to each other this morning, why I gotta hold
and
my
tongue? Get off my Susan!
Oh, sorry.
Sheesh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anyway. So that guy, that was a nice sort of throwback, was like, oh, look at this is the guy from Stranger Things before he was in Stranger Things. I think the weakest link acting wise was
Melanie Griffith.
Melanie Griffith.
Yeah. Terrible.
I was really surprised and even said, and all of these memories are stashed in my head, I was like, I think she's gotten acting awards before. Mm. And I had it wrong. I thought it was Bonfire of the Vanities with Tom Hanks. It wasn't. It was a movie called Working Girl, but she's gotten Golden Globes before. Mm. So I thought, I don't know.
I blame the director on this one. I really thought that this was a terribly acted and terribly executed movie.
I would also blame the script. It was just some horrible writing, some just horrible, like,
Dumb lines
didn't make sense. I mean, they couldn't even come up with a name for their cat. They named it Kitty. I'm like, that bothered me.
You mentioned that before I watched it, and so I did notice that. And I didn't have that many qualms with it. I think the only thing wrong with this movie was that it was made in 1990.
No.
So it's a little more simplistic.
It's definitely...
There were good movies in 1990.
No, for sure. We'll get to that.
It's definitely a throwback, and I've mentioned this before. When you watch a movie that's from a time, they're so much smaller, and
The scope is small.
It takes place, and I mean, I can't even believe they went out to the place where the horseback riding happened. Like, we're going on a field trip, everyone. There was like a 2-minute scene where they're at her work and a 2-minute scene where they're at his work. The rest of the movie's in the house or a couple scenes where she's walking down market for, you know, one of those payday loans.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Was it?
Yes, all of it. Like, it just was so unrealistic.
I will say what bothered me, partially because it was a big reason why I picked the movie, was I don't think they did a great job showing San Francisco. I mean, you saw the bridge and...
Yeah, you know, there were establishing shots and there was the one approach to the house that they used over and over. Mm-hmm. And other than that, like even the stable, I thought that I was thinking maybe they would have used, there's like one kind of famous stable like right across the bridge. I think it's like Miwok Stables and people, it's like a Tennessee Valley trailhead.
Okay.
So you always see it. And I thought, oh, they could have just easily used that. And I'm like, they were in L.A. for this whole thing.
No, there was a lot of scenes that were from L.A., especially, well, the end of the movie is actually in L.A.
And yeah, the beginning, when Pacific Heights pops up on the screen, they're in the Palm Desert. I'm like, all right, already not a great vibe.
Well, so we're talking about the movie Pacific Heights. And this is Bob's Movie Club.
Yeah.
I was glad to get the homework done. It was fun to get a look back at the movie itself. I can't give it more than 5 out of 10. If even that, I think it's more like a 3. Or what's our rating scale?
I think let's go to 5. Let's go to 5.
Yeah, I'd give it a 3. I really didn't think it was that bad. And in defense of the script and the directing, Drake, the main guy, Papa from Stranger Things, he made every wrong decision that you could make along the way. And you saw him constantly putting down Patty's ideas. And not taking anything she said. And then she eventually takes it into her own hands. So I did kind of, and like goes to the guy's hotel room.
She saves the day and stays with that douchebag. I was like, get rid of that guy. Yes. He's toxic.
That's the flaw. But that's the 1990 of it all. Of course, they stay together. But yeah, I would. She should have left him if that movie was made today.
You just tanked our whole life, and you're not even. And now you're weeping.
We're financially doomed.
Right.
Yeah.
Doomed.
Also, can I just say, I do like Michael Keaton, but man, there were some shots of him. They kept doing these close-ups on his face, and his eyes are super wide. And he's all like, just the goofiest, stupidest direction I ever saw.
I think they were just totally leaning on him being Michael Keaton, right? Because he was coming off
He was a huge...
He was known as the scary guy.
He was riding as high as possible at that time in his life.
Had he just done Batman?
Yep.
And I don't know where Mr. Mom was another movie. And I think did Mr. Mom take place here too?
I don't remember.
I can't even remember who was in Mr. Mom.
I think it's him.
Here's a couple texts, one from the 415. Matthew Modine mentioned in a recent interview that he didn't get along with Melanie Griffith during the filming and that she mainly complained during the shoot to the director.
Well, they should have all been complaining. That was a terrible, this is not going well.
Now, one thing that I did see in the movie that they really made a point of showing was him sort of playing with this double-edged razor blade.
Mm-hmm. Michael Keaton's character.
Yeah, the character that was the bad guy in the movie. And I kept thinking, how's that going to show? Like, what are we foreshadowing here? And then they never went back.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
It's just that he's a guy who plays with razor blades.
I guess, and that's why they could, but I really think they probably had it written into the script and then saw the scene and went, we can't use that.
Because they did that with the nail gun. Like, they established that early on when she was fixing up the house the first time.
Because he was going to try and get her with it, and then it just, it misfires like it has been all, oh, no, not this again.
Right.
I'm like, oh, gee, I wonder if that'll save her life. And he's got the thing up against her forehead. Right. I wonder if it's going to misfire or if she's actually going to get a lobotomy.
I have never been in a bad tenant situation. I've always been, knock on wood, very blessed with great landlords and good experiences. And still, I felt the anxiety and the stress of the situation and feeling like, you're being tricked. And I think a big part of that was from the music. And the music was done by Hans Zimmer, who is an incredibly famous composer on a lot of films. He's done over 100 movies.
Do you have some examples?
Interstellar.
Oh.
Inception. The original Gladiator. The Lion King came out 3 years after this, which he won all sorts of awards for.
Oh,
Dune.
Funny.
Thelma and Louise. Like, this guy is, he's the film composer. And I did think that was a really good part of this movie.
I didn't even notice the music. I was too busy just going, Jesus, can anybody on that screen act? Please.
A couple of other fun facts I want to share. When there's the cockroach scene.
Yes.
Orkin. Orkin, thank you. The Orkin product placement. They actually paid for that. They paid $20,000 for that product placement. Wow. And then they were not happy with how they
were
shown.
Because they failed utterly.
Yeah, they failed.
The guy just starts freaking out and kicking the things because there's so many of them. You can't really blame them. But
it was gross.
Yeah, they bring in Orkin and the people
explaining all the stuff. That was that was a big part of their budget right there. That was funny.
Yeah. I also, a couple other fun facts. Obviously, that house was not in Pacific Heights. It is a house that exists. It's in Potrero Hill on the corner of Texas Street and 19th. Maybe
everyone swing by there today. They probably love it. They probably love it when people do that.
The film was inspired by the writer's actual situation where he had a tenant who he wasn't able to evict. So I do feel like that frustration comes from a real place.
And this area is famous for that. Well, yep. California in general, and probably for points beyond.
I was actually surprised, knowing the date of the movie, that was already the law then. Mm. Like, I know it's become that now, but I didn't realize it's so firmly established that once you've taken up the space,
it's yours. And they got to fight to get you out.
Wow.
Fun fact.
All right.
Before we go, this movie wasn't that bad. It was a hit because when it came out, it took number one in the box office above Goodfellas, which came out like a week and a half before.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
Well, that started a bigger opening weekend. That was Michael Keaton. Yeah. He just put his name on it.
Yeah. Boom. Oh, I definitely went and saw that movie in the theaters, and I remember liking it. And then when we moved here, I was like, we should watch that because blah, blah, blah. So now let's get down to the question of texters, we want your feedback. Should Bob's Movie Club happen every week? Or should we get 2 weeks to get through these movies? We discussed this off air a little bit, so we'll take your thoughts and make a decision. Are you going to announce the next movie right
yes,
now?
Yes, I'm ready. Drum roll, please.
Hold on. What do you think?
I think every other week.
You do?
I do. Give people a little bit more time.
I just want to make sure that it doesn't fall out. It'll fall out of my brain. I won't even mention it. So let's make sure that if we are going to go every 2 weeks, that we know what the movie is. We mention it so people can jump on whenever, and then we're clear when the next date is.
Cool. We can do that. On it.
What is our next
movie? The next movie is Dirty Dancing.
Oh, excellent.
So how am I supposed to get through my whole life without ever seeing that movie if you're going to make me watch it?
Your kids are going to love it.
Have you seen it?
I have never seen that.
You should watch it.
For a good reason.
It's PG, right?
No, it has a...
Oh, it does have a kind of a sex scene.
And not even that. It has a B storyline of her friend. She gets pregnant.
Maybe it's the perfect time to watch this with your daughter.
It's not the stork.
It's not the stork.
Okay, Dirty Dancing, and you're saying we're doing this 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, two Thursdays from now.
What's the date on the... Just remind me, and I'll mention it. Bob's Movie Club. We're going to watch Dirty Dancing on Bob's Movie Club. What's coming up in the news, Vin?
I'm disappointed.
Would you stop it?
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up.
Wake up.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit, yeah.
Alice at
97.3. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.